Hello, people of Earth. My name is Sydney Standard, and you're listening to the Humanity Standard podcast. And to be honest, I've had a lot of thoughts on my mind today, and the major one being that I feel like I've been having a bit of an existential crisis my entire existence, and I'm curious if anybody else feels that way. I always feel as though once I think I'm kind of figuring something out, something gets thrown in my way that completely throws all of my observances or whatever that word is, ideas of how things are out the window. And I think in a lot of ways, this whole COVID thing has been that for a lot of people because our way of work as a society has completely changed. I mean, all these companies are embracing remote work where they thought they never could do that. But when put in the situation where they were forced to do so, they, you know, made do with what they had. And I think in a lot of ways, I didn't go through that specific experience, but the experience that I've gone through and continue to go through is thinking about the work that really combines all of my skills and interests into one so that I have really meaningful work that I'm doing on a daily basis. And to be honest, I really, really thought that was YouTube. I was so excited about YouTube. I was like, oh my God, like YouTube's so great. I love the editing process. I love everything, picking the music, shooting the scenes, blah, 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 blah. But lately, you know, I've had this nagging from God, I would really say, or my own soul saying that, you know what, maybe that's not the direction that you're supposed to go in. And it's kind of crazy because I really do believe that ego is the enemy. It is the greatest threat to your own livelihood because your ego gets comfortable in one thing or a way of being. And when you come at your ego and you're like, maybe I should do something else, you're gonna be in contention with it because it's known you as a specific person for however long it's known you as that. So if you're trying to change, your ego is gonna make it very, very difficult for you to change. And one of the ways that you can see that manifest itself is that you're gonna feel like you've been in the same place before. You know, you just feel like you're on this wheel where you're doing the same thing over and over and over again. And it's really until you can learn the lesson and move on. So your ego will have you going in circles until you decide that, you know what, I'm going to let this behind. I'm going to leave this behind and I'm going to try something new. And yes, it's going to be pretty scary initially, but I'm trusting that my intuition, God, whatever you want to call it, is leading me in a direction that will ultimately be better for me. And in a lot of ways, that's what I'm doing with this podcast because every time I post a video or anything like that, while I love it, it's just not getting the sort of traction that I would really need for it to be a full-time thing. And I'm just kind of like, all right, well, is this a sign that this is not the direction to go in? Because I remember when I first got into YouTube and everything kind of went really well for me very quickly. And once I gathered a following around the time of the election, because I was speaking out about being a Trump supporter, lost a ton of friends, lost, you know, people who respected me, all this stuff, because I decided that I didn't want to go with what everyone else was doing. And I also was looking at the facts and I'm like, a lot of this stuff doesn't make any sense. And if I'm thinking logically, because I'm a pretty logical person, and because these things aren't adding up, I can't imagine voting for Biden or any Democrat in that regard, right? So I'm like, okay, I'm going to come out to my community and say that I'm a Trump supporter. And the backlash that I got from doing so was really eye-opening and really started me on this path of realizing that a lot of people are conditioned to not think outside of the box, which, I mean, you can look at the different innovations that we have and say, I mean, we're so innovative, but why is it that once these companies, whether it's the Facebooks, the Twitters, the Amazons of the world, become really big, they get to a point where they actually don't want people to think bigger? In a lot of ways, I think the reason for that is if you are the only company that is super innovative or anything like that, you're always going to stay on top. So maybe that's one of the reasons. I think another reason is probably more nefarious, is that, you know, if people aren't educated, then they're just going to get in line and follow what's being said to them. So I actually am reading this book. I'm always reading a bunch of books, but there's this book I was reading a few moments ago, and it's called Race and Culture by Thomas Sowell. And he actually has a quote in there where he says that power can exist where there is knowledge. So if everybody has the knowledge of these different things, there can be no one person who presides over the others in a power position. So the way to keep people in check is to basically not provide them with the proper knowledge on what's really going on. And I think that's one of the reasons why we see this backlash for people who speak out on social media, whether that's their accounts being deleted or their posts being deleted or anything like that, being barred out of certain platforms. The reason for that is really because you want to keep people in line. You don't want people to ask certain questions. And with my existential crisis, so to speak, that I'm having, I'm in a place where I'm asking a lot of questions. And when you ask a lot of questions, your subconscious is going to answer in some form of another. But if these people are not asking the questions and they're being shamed into not asking these questions, then what answers are people not receiving from their intuition? I think a lot of people can recognize when things are right and when things are wrong. And if you're basically scared into submission, you're not even gonna explore those things because you're afraid of, oh my God, I question this. What does this say about me? What does this say about the government? What does this say about the state of the world? And it's scary for people. You know, no one wants to feel alone. And the craziest part about all of this is that the people who do speak out against whatever ills of society that there are tend to be ostracized and don't realize that there are many others like them. But because they can't congregate on these different platforms, they just have no idea. So it's really always a struggle to find out the best means of communication with other people that won't be stifled by Big Brother. With this foray, or I don't know what word I would call it, into podcasting, I think what's interesting about this is that you don't have a person that's staring at you who, or a camera, I should say, that's staring at you, and you have all the facial expressions and all that. And I thought that was bad, right? Because you want to see someone, you want to interact with them, you want to see what their hand movements are, all these different things. But I was listening to something earlier today, and it was talking about how audio is one of the most intimate forms of communication. And I totally understand why that is the case, because all you have to do is think about music, right? Music, you listen to it, and next thing you know, you're singing the hook randomly. And I find myself doing that a lot. So in the last episode, I talked about Certified Lover Boy from Drake, which is a new album, and then Donda from Kanye West, which is also an album. And there's been this one song that I keep hearing in my head from Donda. And it's just making me think of the spell that I'm being put under as I just recite those lyrics. And imagine if you can get people to recite really positive things, whether it's in music, whether it's in a podcast, you're hearing it in real time And if it really resonates with you, whether it's there's a melody behind it or just the inflection of the voice or anything like that, you're going to be much more likely to remember that and to replay it in your mind. So I think a lot of us really have to be mindful of what we're listening to in our heads. This is one of the reasons why I actually stopped listening to most of rap music, because I think a lot of the things, if not most of what popular rap music, hip hop music, whatever, talks about today is extremely negative. And that is basically a reflection of the consciousness level of the individuals making the songs, right? If you are fixated on the materialistic, on the unconscious, whether that's violence or sex or anything like that, that is what your music is going to be about. But if you have more substance to you and you care about issues, that is what your music is going to be about. And I think one artist who sticks out to me as I think about it is J. Cole, because a lot of his lyrics are much more conscious than the other people. I would maybe even add in Kendrick Lamar in there as well. But then again, I really do think that many of these artists elicit the use of words that aren't exactly the best. So, I mean, while there are artists who have come a long way, we started in a conscious era when rap first started. So why are we now here? It's kind of crazy, because all you have to do is look at the music and you know exactly the state that society is in. So if these are the things that we're paying celebrities and specifically musicians tons of money to basically sing and create, and we're promoting it, that tells us a lot about what we think of ourselves. A lot of society is unconscious. They have no idea what is really going on when it comes to themselves, when it comes to their place in the world. And it's pretty sad, to be honest. And I was definitely in that place at one point in my life. And I'm sure there are still things that I'm not doing completely right, because I'm not the moral police. I don't think anybody should be the moral police. And, you know, I guess in a lot of ways, religion was supposed to deal with that so that we don't really have to think about it. Oh, yeah, you have the moral code and it's all good, yada, yada, yada. But no person is perfect. So I think if you create this dynamic where people feel as though, oh my gosh, I've sinned, you know, God hates me, then you're not really gonna be feeling empowered to work on things. You're just gonna be having these feelings of shame, of guilt that, you know, might push you to indulge more in those things that aren't really the best for you. So I think it's really about finding a different way to convey that, yes, you need to have morals, you need to care about your life, other people's lives, and figure out some sort of system whereby you can get things done and not procrastinate all the time, but at the same time, not be down on yourself if you don't consistently meet that bar, right? We have to be forgiving of ourselves, but I think you can only really do that if you have the self-awareness and if you are completely conscious of the actions that you're taking on a daily basis. So, for example, I used to be a person who would smoke weed all the time. I mean, every day, all day. And it was mostly a thing that I kind of picked up when I was a teenager. You know, I was 17 in my senior year of high school, and that's when I finally found a group of friends. You know, we would smoke together and then like go get something to eat, and it was fun. We'd listen to music. It was a whole vibe, you know. And I realized that, or later on, I realized that in a lot of ways, that habit was a manifestation of me really just wanting to be liked. You know, I was smoking and partying and doing all these things because I didn't want to feel alone. And if you're turning to any substance just so that you don't feel alone, that's not going to end well. whether it's drinking, whether it's smoking weed, whether it's, you know, maybe even exercising. I think exercising to a certain point can be very detrimental to your health, especially if it's this fixation that's taking away from everything else. So I think anything can be abused. It doesn't have to just be drugs. And with that, I was recognizing that, okay, it's not that you can't have a drink sometimes or you can't smoke some weed sometimes. It's about knowing that there's a time and place for everything and knowing that, okay, if you are smoking, right, what does that mean when you're in that inebriated state? It means that you're going to be lazier. It means that you're going to have slower impulses. It means that you are just going to be in a place where you really just want to be in a comfortable spot. And when you're in that comfortable spot for extended periods of time, what does your life look like? Is it going to be a life that you love, or is it going to be something that, you know, you're kind of just making your way through life, doing whatever? And I kind of realized the latter, right? I've been realizing that I really have to prioritize creating a life that I really want to live. And I'm sure there are many of you who feel the same way. It's not easy to navigate life. In fact, it's pretty challenging. I won't say it's difficult, because I think perception is reality. So if you're saying, oh yeah, this is super difficult, then it's going to be very difficult for you. But if you think about life as being something that's challenging that you have to figure out, I think it makes it much more fun. And that's how I choose to look at it. So if you want to take that from me, it's all yours. But with this existential crisis, I'm just realizing again, that word, that you can take your time and you don't have to know everything, right? The only moment that we really have is right now. So how in this now moment is your life good? Having gratitude for things and not getting so caught up in how you think your life is supposed to look. Any moment in time is ultimately just a snapshot into your life. So at this current snapshot of your life, think about that snapshot. Do you like that snapshot? Do you dislike that snapshot? What would you like to change about this snapshot? What do you not want to change about this snapshot? You have to think very critically about your life. And maybe you want to take yourself seriously, but don't take yourself too seriously, because we're supposed to have fun in life, but we're also supposed to create and do whatever we're put here to do. I don't know the answer for you. You're going to have to consult your own soul for that. All I really wanted to talk about today is that you don't have to feel ashamed of wherever you are right now, because this moment will not last forever. It's really about the lessons that you learn and that you apply the lessons that you've learned so that you don't have to be on this never-ending cycle of torture for some people. It doesn't have to be that way. And we really should think more. Don't listen to all these people, oh yeah, just trust the signs, whatever. I don't think you should ever trust anything blindly unless it's God, right? You should only trust your intuition blindly. That's the one thing I would say that you should trust blindly. But everything else, question it. And if someone or something is telling you not to question, that should really, really get your bells, alarms going, because we're supposed to question everything. Don't just accept everything as it is. So that's kind of my rambling for today. I think we had a good one. So on that note, I say peace out, sit out, and we'll see you in the next one.